It's funny, when we have kids, as we all know, they all watch the same films over and over again. They'll repeat them, they'll repeat them. They say we're young and we don't know, we won't find out till we grow. And they will actually only enjoy the things that they nearly have seen before because they are familiar with them. And my mother was the same. She liked things that she was familiar with. And ironically enough, one of the movies that my mother used to rewatch was Groundhog Day. Okay, campers, rise and shine, and don't
forget your booties, because it's cold out there. Jane, will you put on a film? Yeah, Groundhog Day. Then put your little hand in mine. Jane, is it loading? Groundhog Day. Groundhog Day.
My mother was a lover of the arts.
Believe it or not, I studied 19th century French poetry.
What a waste of time.
She loved flowers, she loved poetry, she loved everything positive in life. She loved good food, she loved good wine, she loved the nicest places.
La fille qui j'aimerais, c'est la convention.
Jane, will you put on a film?
Un peu.
Yeah, Groundhog Day.
I knew Mum didn't have that long left. I knew I wanted to record what was happening.
Well, will you?
What?
Give me my 50-year-old.
Yeah, do you wait a few minutes, Mum?
Yeah. Will you give me my 50-year-old?
It was small stuff at first. Things like watching television programmes that she would never usually watch, like Jeremy Kyle or those late night quiz shows that you have to phone into. She also began wearing odd combinations of clothes, say, a tracksuit top with a strand of dressy pearls. She began living in my pocket. Every day when I got home from college, her car would be parked outside my house. I began to feel depressed every time I saw her black Renault Clio. At other times, when I was visiting in friends' houses, I'd find her parked outside waiting for me to come out. There was lots of other stuff as well. She fell out with her best friend, but didn't care, and started being horrible to her own 80-year-old mother. I was finding myself excruciatingly embarrassed in situations where she flirted openly with men, and her conversations became increasingly sexually overt, no matter who was around. I began to monitor what she did and where she went obsessively. I'd drive by the pub to see if her car was parked outside. If it wasn't, I'd call everyone she knew to see if she was with them. It got to the stage where I couldn't stand when she was with me and worried about her incessantly when she wasn't.
I liked living with you. I love you.
See you, Mum?
Mm.
I love you too.
What would you do if you were stuck in one place and every day was exactly the same and nothing that you did mattered?
My aunt, Roisin. I would drop my mother to her in the morning and I would go into college. And I'd usually have a couple of hours in college and then I'd have to come back. And when I picked her up and I brought her home, the first thing she would say is, can I get a bottle of wine in the car? Can I get a little bottle of wine? Can I get a little bottle of wine? And I'd say, no, you can't have a bottle of wine, because the wine exaggerated the demented way that she was.
Well, can I get a little bottle of wine?
Nope. No more drinking, okay?
Well, I am.
No.
But when you said no to having a little bottle of wine, what happened was then was that she wouldn't stop. She would never stop asking you. There was no way that you could ever create the situation that she would stop. She would just keep on asking and asking and asking.
How are you doing this?
I do want to drink.
I told you, no. I wake up every day right here, right in Punxsutawney,
and it's always February
2nd. I do want one.
And there's nothing I can do about it.
You are pushed to the limits of what is humanly possible to bear. And
I do want one.
You read about other people that have put pillows over people's faces and smothered them and that kind of thing.
I am. No, you're not.
And you really, really understand.
I am.
You really know where they're coming from.
Going out to get myself a little bottle of wine. Nope.
You can't criticise anybody for doing that because unless you've actually been in that situation,
I know.
You don't know what it's like. You don't know what it's like. And you are, as I said, you're pushed to the limits of what you can bear.
Well, I am. You're not.
She's wearing pyjamas all day, with stripy socks and red slippers. Her feet remind me of a Jim Henson puppet version of Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz. It's funny because that's a film she has always been fixated with. She even took the name Dorothy for her confirmation. I began trawling the internet again, and this time I googled words like regression and young people. I hit on it straight away. Pick's disease. I'd never heard of it before. But there it was, describing my mother to me with every detail of her behaviour accounted for. A frontotemporal dementia, which although rare, can affect people as young as 30. It is a progressive disease, and a sufferer can live anywhere between 2 to 15 years. Mam is much worse now. She has been living with me full-time for the last 2 years. If I had to describe her mental state, I'd describe it as simple and getting simpler. I understand now what simple really means.
I'm going out to have a smoke.
It's only 7:30 in the morning.
I know. It's 10 past 8.
Ooh. Very late.
I would literally light a cigarette for her.
Ned Ryerson!
And then she would not even be finished when she would ask me to light the next one. And so on, all day.
I did have a couple of puffs. Jane, please.
Phil? Hey, Phil Connors.
Ned?
Please,
sit down and watch the film. Come on, sit down and watch the film.
No, I won't.
Come on, sit down and watch the film.
No.
Well, then what are you going to do then?
Well,
not a chance.
Ned! Ryerson!
Jane, please.
That, for me, was one of the cruelest things, to see somebody that you love and that cannot be fulfilled. They're empty, they're so empty, and they're looking with futility around and with a simplicity about themselves because they don't understand, looking for something to sate themselves. And I remember at one stage I actually almost got to the stage that I felt like going out and trying to score heroin for her. Something that was going to stop her feeling so empty, because I couldn't bear to watch it anymore. Couldn't bear it.
You're very, very upstanding.
How do you mean?
I don't know.
You're confident with me, are you?
Yeah. I love you.
I love you too.
Do you?
I do. I do.
Well, that's the best.
Shortly after I recorded this piece, my mother collapsed from respiratory failure and was admitted to hospital. She stayed in hospital for the next 3 months. I knew one Monday morning on a visit to her, and she hadn't managed to put on her ever-present makeup, that things were taking a turn for the worst. By the end of that week, she wasn't waking at all. I remember I was watching The Late Late Show, and I was getting up to turn off the telly, and when I turned and looked, she was awake. I couldn't believe it. It was like getting the biggest gift. The gift of time to communicate how much I loved her. I got into her bed, chatted, cried, and eventually fell asleep beside her. Throughout the night, as I woke intermittently, I saw that she was awake all that time, just staring at the ceiling. As always, I wondered what she was thinking about. She stayed awake for the next day. This time when she fell back asleep, she didn't wake again. The following Wednesday morning she died. I wasn't there. I felt that horrible paradoxical feeling of a huge sense of relief, with an adrenaline rush of some kind of excitement. It's only in the last few weeks that the real grief has hit me. I miss her so much. The haze that hid her true self from me lifted very quickly after she died. I don't think of her as her sick self anymore. In actual fact, it's the last few years that have become hazy and unclear now. I keep expecting to hear the clacking of her high heels on my wooden floor. I want to keep her with me. I still have her possessions. I hold on to her little compact mirror, keeping it closed, knowing that the last face ever reflected in it is hers, sealed there forever.
I love you, Jane.
Thanks, Grant.